change, touch and change our hearts and our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Be seated.
I was looking at the clock, and we're running behind. There's lots of different reasons for that this morning. And I am very hungry, and that's in your favor today. But yet, we need to deal with this passage this morning, found in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 41. And I was going to get right to it. I call it the people of a growing church. Not just people of a church, but people of a growing church. And the best illustration that I could find, hey, bud. Hey, my granddad says he hollers at me, I got all back. Acts chapter 2 is where the best illustration of this is. The day of Pentecost had just happened. That Peter had just preached this magnificent message. The Spirit of God had just fell upon the church. And I mean, they saw some awesome and incredible things. They were filled. Incredible. And then they leave the church and they go about living life. And this is about the life of living after that incredible moment of coming to meet God, coming to meet Christ. And so in verse 41 says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added unto them. Wow. Went from 120 to 3,000. Yes, I would say that's a growing church. But how many churches have you seen that were huge, mammoth churches at one point, growing and thriving, and then all of a sudden begin to dwindle down to nothing? Acts. By the way, where is the church at Jerusalem today? What about the church at Antioch? What about the church at Philippi? What about the... Well, I can go on and on. Where are they at today? Did they keep it going? No, they did. Something happen. They stopped growing. Probably the Dark Ages happened. That's probably what it was. But they stopped growing. And there are reasons. And so we're going to look this morning, hopefully briefly, we're going to look this morning at some of the characteristics at the from 42 to 47 that they had, that I believe that we need to also have today in order for us to grow. And I'm not talking about the building, I'm talking about the people of a growing church. In verse 42, it's a people who continued steadfastly. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Those are four things that are listed. That they continued steadfastly. What that means is they didn't turn around and say, well, we're just going to do two out of the four. We're just going to do three out of the four. We're just going to do one out of the four. They steadfastly did all of these things in the church. The first one is in teaching. We can be saved. Okay, we'll get it right. We can be saved and be satisfied. But look what they did. I imagine that the apostles were doing nothing but teaching. I remember a time when I was at church camp many years ago, and I had a group of young men in the dorm room there, the bunker. We spent the entire afternoon just, they were asking questions about God. Now, that was one of the greatest, that was one of the greatest afternoons of my life, because these kids were really wanting to know, and they, you know, they were just talking. We were talking. And I was teaching. They had a desire to know Christ, to know about Christ, to know how to live as in Christ. They had this desire. Listen, we need to have that desire. One of the greatest words that you can say to a pastor is, "Pastor, I want to know more about God. I would like to join or start a Bible study." You'll give him a heart, you'll give me a heart attack. And it's good. Well, maybe not, but it'll be good for you. We have opportunities here for you to learn. Sunday school. On Sunday nights. Wednesday nights. And when you don't come, what are you telling the church and your pastor? "I don't want to learn more about God." Or, "I know enough about God." If we're going to be a growing church, we're going to have a desire to know more. And you say, "Well, I know enough." Let me tell you what. I've been studying the Bible practically all my life. And I am going to school and I am learning every day. And I'm getting deeper into the knowledge of Christ. Growing closer to Him because of that knowledge. Don't tell me you're where you need to be, because I'm not, and you'll never be. And I'll never be. So they were gathered together around the apostles' teaching and doctrine. You got it now? Okay. Remember teaching. Should be up there. The second one is fellowship. Participation. They said that they steadfast in the doctrine, teaching, and fellowship. How interesting. We're fixing to have a fellowship. But actually, it's more than that. It's talking about participation. They did things together. They did things together. They actually wanted to be together. They were unified by the Spirit of God. What does that mean? Was that me on there? We're live on Facebook, so you can send that out. But they wanted to be together. They were unified by the Spirit of God to want to be around other believers. We're so close to being a growing church. And a lot of these ways we're fixing to talk about. But one of the things I think we've got to get better at, and that's a lack we had to get to have a participation in church functions to want to be here. There are times when we have church functions that there are more visitors and guests here than there are church members. We should want to be together. We should want, even when you don't like catfish, you should be there just to support. We'll have other things like chicken. You should want to be here. If you can't be here, you should feel like you missed something if you're not. There are two reasons that we have church functions. One is to develop the unity and the fellowship among believers. Us. And then, the second thing is to show that love and that unity to the lost. Do you know how many people would love to be in your position, to have a church family that loves and cares about them? Someone, and there are many, so many people out there right now that would just die to have that opportunity, to have that kind of fellowship. Don't take it for granted. Pray to have the kind of family that we have here all day. And we show that through our activities and our fellowship together, that's when we actually show the world. And that draws people. Trust me, they want this. The third thing is, it says breaking of bread. That is symbolic of the Lord's Supper. We started having it for a while. We had Lord's Supper on Sunday mornings because there wasn't a whole lot of people that were members who were coming for Sunday night to take the Lord's Supper when we did it. We were doing it quarterly. You know what the problem is? The problem is, it meant something. Why not Sunday night? Why not come? If it means as much as Scripture says it does. And you know what? You know what it means here. Why it was so important? Because they celebrate. They remember the Lord's sacrifice and death together. They had the same common goal and purpose, and that was a reminder to everybody: we're not here just to fellowship. We're not here just to be catfish. We're not here just to see each other, say hi, and socialize. Well, that's good, but that's not the real reason why we're here. We're here because Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for us. That's why we're here. And so that is a reminder to help us keep focused on why we worship and why we're here. And the last is prayers. Praying together. To get closer to God, to answer your prayers and for their needs. It just seems I've been praying a whole lot more than I've ever prayed in the last few months about a whole lot of different people and situations. And it's so much better when you know people are praying for you. People that love you and they want to take it, they want to make God to help solve the issues and problems in your life. When a church family does that, it's noticeable. Your life, even when you don't quote notice it. Something you can't explain to a lost person, they'll see it. They'll know all this is going on, but how can you? Because I've got a church family that's praying for me. In verse 43, we see a people who were served with a godly fear, because I could spend the rest of the time just on that. But verse 43. It says, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. They were stirred with a godly fear. I want you to understand, this is not a terror, this is not a fright, but it's more like the fear when your daddy had the bells coming after you. You still loved him, but you didn't want to be around him. You didn't want to face his wrath. That's the fear it's talking about. Not the fear, what is he going to kill me? Well, maybe I killed that. It's also talking about the awe, a holy sense of God's presence. When you know God's there, and you go, oh, this is real. He's here. A consciousness that God is working. When you start to see God working in people's lives, you say, that's a God thing. And you start to realize that God is in control and you aren't. A reverence that God is working. A sense of awe and worship is when you bow down and you say, thank you, Jesus. That's the fear and awe that they had. They were looking around and they said, only God can be doing this. Thank you. So they were people who stirred with a godly conscience. They saw signs and wonders. Now, I'm not going to say you're going to see what they saw. Because you probably won't. I'm not suggesting that you're going to start talking in gibberish. Somebody interpret, I'm not suggesting that at all, but you're going to see. But we see something.
One mind
and one mouth glorify the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not with 10 different minds in a church, not with 10 different mouths, but with one mind and one mouth that we glorify God together. Preacher friend of mine, he gave me some examples of how disunity becomes the church, in his church. He had been there a while and began to change things. They have a praise band. Some of the older folks did not like the praise band. Some of them decided that they would, on a each Sunday basis, like, you know, I don't like the music. You want to change things in the, with the services. I mean, just all kinds of different changes. And he was getting the church as a whole, the church as a whole wanted to make these changes, to reach out to younger generation, to do different things other than what they had done for the past generation. And he was becoming frustrated because even though the church would vote to do it, even though the church would say, yes, we want to do this, we want to grow, there were some who would not have won a court. And instead of fussing and fighting and or maybe going someplace else, what they would do is they would go around with a whispering telephone campaign. Or just do their own thing. Creating disharmony in the church. Undermining the unity of the church is serious. How? How do you do that? By having different motives. Desiring different direction. Unable to change. Trying to get your own way instead of where God is leading the church. By whispering gossip, undermining those who are leading in a direction that you don't want to follow. The Bible says it's one of the seven things that God hates. Causing discord among the brethren. They were united. Not only in mind, but with one mouth. And they did things together as a unit. You cannot have one leg deciding to go forward and the other one to go back, and I'm not going to show you how that will work. Andy, that's not that funny. No, I'm not going to show you, but you understand what I'm saying. I can't have this arm going like this and me trying to do something. It doesn't work. You have to be unified, going in the same direction. And you know what? Maybe you don't want to go forward, but the rest do. I do believe God does too. We need to be a people that are unified. Let's look at the rest and see what happens when all of these things and the people of God come together. A people who worship and praise God daily. And breaking bread. Now, breaking bread here does mean eating. Okay? And breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Next slide. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. They were worshiping at the regular hours of the temple. They were doing that. But then they couldn't get enough. They would go around from home to home and they would eat together and say, come on over, let's study some God's word together. And they would actually be learning, praising, worshiping during the week. They were worshiping in their homes. They were fellowshipping. They were worshiping. And they were eating together. Home, is the church the center of the ministry? Is this the center of ministry? It shouldn't be. The center of your ministry should be your home. And that was the center of their ministry. And they were doing all of this with gladness and singleness of the heart. What does singleness of the heart mean? Singleness of the heart means that they had one purpose. And it's what we all should have. I do not care the method that they have given you. It may be totally different than the way I teach. I do not care what song or the type of song that you're singing. As long as it's giving praise and honor and glory to God, it goes to one purpose, and that is to lead somebody closer.
don't let these things divide us. And they did it with singleness of the heart. What is it that we can do to lead this person to Christ? And that's our singleness of the heart. The results were amazing. Some people think that the world should hate the church. No. Would you hate people like this? Would you hate people who prayed and loved and cared about each other? Would you hate them? No, the world looked on and go, what in the world? Man, I would love to be a part of that. I would love to be a part of a group like this. How can I do this? And it says that they gained favor with the people, not the people of the church, but the people outside the church. We want to reach somebody for the Lord. We need to gain their favor. We need to show them that what we're saying is worth it. When you come, you ask them to come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, they're going to want to know why. The reason will be, look what he's done for me. Look what we've done together. And the other result, obviously, is souls added to the church as we're being saved. Two parts to that. There are souls being saved. But there's more to it than that. Because a person can be saved and not be a part of a church. They can come to know Jesus Christ their Savior. But they say, what he's saying here is this. When they're saved, that person wanted to be a part of that church. Our purpose, our goal, these people telling, and our purpose is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to do it steadfastly in teaching, fellowship, and remembering our purpose in the Lord's Supper, praying for each other. We need to be feared with a godly fear. Feel the presence of God in our lives and in our worship. See the things that God has done, how he's changed us. And we need to be sharing our ministry together. I have a ministry. Dan has a ministry. Terry has a ministry. But what we do is we take every one of us has a ministry. And when we come together, we are sharing our ministries together. In a moment, you're going to see something come up after the invitation. I want you to read it. I want you to remember it. Remember it. We need to be a people that are unified. Not divided. Not torn by the customs and things of this world, but together with one purpose and one plan. And that is to win the lost for Christ. To bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And I can care less how we do it as long as we do it. As long as we do it together. In one accord. And then we need to begin to worship God. Daily. Praise him daily. Not just on Sunday morning. But every day. I do believe if we were to do these things, the community, we would be that bright and shining beacon to this community as we went out. And I do believe there'd be souls saved, and I do believe there'd be added to this church. And so, I told you before, I were close. There's some things that we need to keep and consider and change so that we can become people of a growing church. And I'd be remiss if I didn't spend my remaining moments here in the pulpit to someone or anyone that has never asked Jesus Christ into their heart and their life. We're here. We're here to give you a message. A message that Jesus Christ came to this earth to do something that we could not do. Live a life that's pleasing to God. Jesus Christ did that. He came and he lived that life that was pleasing to God. And he said, Lord, I am going to pay the price their sin. And he did at the cross of Calvary. He paid that price. And then the good part about that is, he rose again after 3 days, giving us the hope of eternal life. And then we find something amazing. What he says is this: if you believe in me, if you trust in me, you shall be saved. Ask and confess with thy mouth. Ask, and you will receive salvation. That you too can come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Many have done over the years. Many have come to know Jesus Christ because the Spirit of God has touched their heart and touched their lives. Many have. But they never came and joined the New Testament church. Never got plugged in. Would you this morning, if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart and your life, please, if God is speaking to your heart right now, would you do that right now? Would you do that? Would you ask him to come into your life and trust him? And I pray that you don't delay. And if you're here today and you're a saved child of God, even a member of this, and you're not a member of this church, I pray that you will desire, that God will put the desire, maybe not here, but the desire to be a part of a church family that you can share your ministry with. And Olive Hill, got some things to work on for us to be a growing church, a people. So we're not involved. There's just some things you'll have to examine your hearts as well as mine. I'll have to examine mine in order to figure out what those things are that we need to change. So as we stand in prayer of an invitation, I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. And I really